Lalu Govinda Prabhupada of Sedi Pachan.
Okay? Yeah, you can play it. I want to thank everybody for coming here in this heat. At least you get a free sauna bath today. We don't charge anything for the sauna bath. Jai Rama Bhuma Kunda Vila Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Bharat Acharya, all together. to the Sri Shiva, His Divine Grace of Ayachalana, Bhaktivedanta, Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananda Gauti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Vrindas Thakur Ki Jai, Rense Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Rabu Nityananda Shri Dwaita Gadadha Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Govakapada Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda Gigovran Gijai, Vrindavan Gijai, Maturam Gijai, Navidam Gijai, Sami Gijai, Yumunamai Gijai, Shivanagalasi Dev Gijai, Samavya Bhakta Vrindavan Gijai, Gaur Premananda Hayo, Lord is he some of the Bhutis, all glory is he some of the Bhutis, all glory is he some of the Bhutis. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, Umagana, Tinanda Shah, Vedachana, Shlakya, Chakshuru, Minikam, Yeda, Tasmai, Shri Yodhe Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, is there some arrangement for those who don't speak English or understand English? Back to where we go. So, today, we want to speak about something maybe a little bit different during the Sunday feast or Sunday program. I'm going to talk about something. Maybe it's a new topic for all of you. It's called the Dasa Mula. Has anyone heard of the Dasa Mula before? It's on the road. So, thank you very much. Thank you. So, these Mula actually means root, and Dasa means ten. Everybody got that? So these are the 10 root understandings of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy that have been given to us by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is a great teacher in our disciplic succession, coming before Gaur Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj, who came before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who came before Srila Prabhupada, has oftentimes mentioned these 10 basic points in Krishna consciousness. And he says, if you learn and study these, you'll become free and happy. So it's a simple method, very easy, and if you're here today, you'll become free, happy, Krishna conscious, and go back to Godhead. How about that? So, 10 points. And one of the points, the first point is called pramana, and the other ones are called prameya. These are the interesting Sanskrit words for you. Pramana means basically, how do you know what you know? In English, there's a fancy word called epistemology, which means how do you know what you know? And so, in other words, establishing what is evidence. Why do we believe what we believe in? Okay, and then the next 9 points are called prameya, what there is to believe in. So let's talk about, let's mention Lord Chaitanya first, because these are Lord Chaitanya's teachings, his 10 basic root teachings. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. For those of you who don't know, who appeared over 500 years ago, and He appeared to teach us how to be a devotee, how to be devotees. In the previous Yuga, Krishna appeared, in Dwarf Yuga, Krishna appeared and taught us how, basically, to annihilate the miscreants. But in Kali Yuga, this is the age of quarrel. We need a good example of how to be Krishna conscious, how to progress in spiritual life. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are his principles. The first principle, as we mentioned before, is pramana. How do we know what we know? So the Vedic, the first principle, number one, is the Vedic literatures are accepted as authority about the absolute truth. Now, there's other methods of receiving knowledge. One of them is called pratyaksha. You don't have to learn that Sanskrit word, which means seeing or sensory experience. But that is faulty. Why do we say that's faulty? Because you can see something that doesn't exist, and you can also not see something that does exist. There's something called a mirage. Does everybody know what a mirage is? I mean, sometimes you see when it's a very hot day, like today, you're driving down the street, and you see water in the distance. That's called a mirage. So, because we have imperfect senses, seeing is not necessarily believing. Or seeing is not necessarily the truth. And there's other material methods of understanding things, such as deriving principles from limited observations. In other words, if you see one devotee, two devotees, let's say you see two devotees who are pure devotees, then you may think all devotees are pure devotees. Not true. All devotees are not pure devotees. Some devotees are, some devotees are not. So you may have a limited number of examples. So, in other words, acquiring knowledge or spiritual knowledge through the senses or through the mind, these are imperfect methods of acquiring knowledge. But the perfect method of acquiring knowledge is called the descending process, that which comes from above. So the Vedic literatures are literatures that have been passed down in disciplic succession, such as the Bhagavad Gita, such as the Srimad Bhagavatam. And these literatures contain information about the Absolute Truth, and that's how you know what the Absolute Truth is. It's not that I think Krishna is God, and you think someone else is God, but it's that the knowledge coming from above, Dhamantu Saksha Bhagavat Pranitam, states that Krishna is God. And in fact, that's the second point. Finish with the first point. First point is, how do you know what you know about God or about the Absolute Truth? Second point is, Krishna is God, and he's the source of all the incarnations. And we find information about that in the Bhagavatam. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. And therefore, we accept Krishna as God. Of course, Krishna has various incarnations. They're all God. You know, karma, matcha. There's thousands and thousands of incarnations. Incarnation means when God comes down to this earth planet. So, that's the second point. The third point is Krishna has infinite powers. That's the nature of God. In other words, when we describe God, he's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-good, all these all designations. That's what God is. So he has all powers. He's so powerful that he doesn't even have to do anything to accomplish anything. He just wants it to happen, and it happens. And he's on vacation all the time. That's all powerful. See, all of you and myself, we have to work. And then after you work, you get a little bit of money, you decide how to spend it. But the interesting thing is, Krishna never has to work. He's kaloke evanivashati akilatmabhuta. He's always enjoying with his girlfriend. I'm not saying you should always enjoy with your girlfriend, but Krishna is always in the spiritual world enjoying, and whatever he wishes happens, and he doesn't have to do anything. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? I'll give you a practical story that illustrates that. Once upon a time, a man walked into a Hindu temple. Of course, most of you don't know what a Hindu temple is. But let me describe what a Hindu temple is. A Hindu temple is where people worship all these different, what we call demigods. Demigods means people who work for God. They're employees. God's the boss, and they work for God. But they're confused. They think the demigods, most Hindus think the demigods are just the gods. You know, a whole bunch of gods. And they worship them all, and in these Hindu temples, they have sometimes 20 different altars. Pretty good, isn't it? Because they don't want to miss anybody. So they have Shiva, Ganesh, they'll have Mahavir, I mean so many different deities that they have. And each one will have their own curtain. And if you happen to be a worshiper of Durga, you open your curtain. And you worship of Ganesh, you open your curtain. Shiva, you open your curtain. And there's Krishna there too. So, once upon a time, a man walked into the temple and he wasn't a Hindu. And he looked at all the different deities. And he pointed out to Krishna, he said, that is God. The rest of them work for him. And the Pujari didn't even know who God was. He just thought, they're all the gods. And this is how I make my living anyway, you know, people give donations, Pujari gets rich. This is India. Of course, this, we're not in India now, so you don't understand this. So the Pujari asked this gentleman, why do you think that this Krishna is God? And the gentleman answered, because everybody else on the altar, all the altars, is working. And Krishna is just playing his flute. Look at our flute player here. With his girlfriend. So that means he's enjoying, because God is the supreme enjoyer. So that's what it means to say Krishna has infinite powers. He can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, and nobody can question it. Pretty good, isn't it? He's supremely swarat, supremely independent, doesn't need anyone else. We all need someone else. Just like today, someone cooked my prasadam. And I need that. Tomorrow, someone will drive me to the airport. I need that. Of course, I can drive myself. But that's another issue. So I need people. But Krishna doesn't need anyone. In fact, Krishna creates. Let me give you a story about this. Once upon a time, some demigods, like Indra, wanted to see if Krishna needed some girlfriends. Interesting story. So Krishna was appearing in the form of Naranarayan Rishi, meditating in the Himalayas, and Indra, one of the demigods, wanted to try to attract Krishna. And Krishna, he brought down all these Heavenly Society girls who were dancing Bharatanatyam for Krishna. And what happened is that Krishna just yawned and created some more beautiful girls in his own body. And he said to Indra, you can take one back with you. And that, of course, was Urvasi, this famous personality in Vedic literatures. So that's the third quality. Krishna has unlimited potencies, unlimited power. We are one of his potencies. The material energy is one of his potencies. The spiritual world is one of his potencies. He can lift Govardhan Hill with a pinky of his left hand. He didn't even need to do that. If he just wished Govardhan Hill would float in the air, didn't even need to do that. The next, number four, remember, if you learn all these, you can go back to God. Good deal. So number four is, Krishna is an ocean of ras. Let me explain what I mean. Ras means a taste from relationships. We have different relationships in this world. Like we have friends, we have people who love us, we have our parents, we have someone who we serve, someone who we worship. And so Krishna is an ocean of these different relationships. He has so many different relationships. In addition to basic relationships, Krishna has other relationships, indirect rasas, it's called. Like Krishna also gets angry. Krishna gets shocked sometimes. Krishna is humorous. Everything, all possible emotions, which are called bhavas, in Sanskrit, Krishna is manifest in Krishna. Therefore,
battery low.
Ooh. Even my phone talks. Phone's not too happy with me. Anyway, let me turn. There, okay. It won't talk to me now. I'm the only one who can use a mobile phone during class. So, because I'm broadcasting. So, basically, when we talk about Ocean of Ras, we talk about Krishna's spiritual energy, Sambit, Sandini, Ladini, the energy that maintains the spiritual world, the energy that gives intelligence in the spirit, the cognitive, it's called cognitive, it's a fancy word, and the enjoying propensity, or enjoying energy of Krishna. So Krishna's an ocean of Ras. And knowing that, we'll get to number five, that the soul, that's us, is part and parcel of Krishna. We have the same qualities as Krishna does. Pretty interesting, isn't it? In other words, we can also enjoy Ras. Of course, we're not an ocean of Ras. We're a lake or a puddle of Ras, anyway. So we can enjoy all of these different relationships too, but in relationship to Krishna, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, as Krishna says in the Gita. Mami Bhangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manachastani Indriyani Prabhati Stani Krashti. That we also are parts and parcels of Krishna. Same qualities, but less quantity. Okay, that's number five. And number six is that certain souls, that's us again, are in Maya. What does that mean, Maya? Maya means illusion. Why are we in illusion? Because we decided to turn our faces away from Krishna. Originally, we were Krishna conscious entities. And what happened is we didn't like the fact that Krishna was in the center. We got jealous. You ever get jealous of someone? No? No one here has ever got jealous. You're all pure devotees. Envious, jealous. You know, someone has a better car, better mobile phone. Then you get jealous. So Krishna has everything. So it's easy to get jealous of Krishna. Because he has everything. He has the best program, the best vehicle, Garuda, most intelligent person, he's the richest person. It's easy. So we got envious of Krishna, therefore we were sent to this world, and we got covered by the three modes of material nature that are controlling us at every minute. Like the puppet is controlled by strings. Marionette is controlled by strings. Bhagavad Gita states this. He kashti chanamapi chatatishtiti kamagrit karyateya sakarama sarva prakriti jagrana. So, that's our position. And then the next one, number seven. Certain souls are not in Maya. And those are souls like His Divine Grace to the Prabhupada who came down from spiritual world. That's called the Shakadesha Avatar. And also there are souls that made their way back to the spiritual world. So those souls we need to take their association of. Because by taking the association of great personalities, one can actually be Krishna conscious. So that's the next one. And the next one is all phenomena, that means everything you see, spiritual and material phenomena, are one with and different from Krishna simultaneously. Now that, let me explain that in greater depth. This is called, in Sanskrit, Achincha, Veda, Aveda Tattva philosophy. That everything is the same and different from Krishna simultaneously. What that means is that, let's take the sun. The sun emanates the sun rays. And these sun rays, in one sense, are the same as the sun, but in another sense are different because they're emanations, so they come from the sun. For example, If the sun was shining here and you opened the curtains, if we had curtains here, it was too hot to have the sun shining here, you'd say, let the sun in. So you can't let the sun in the room because you'd all be cremated instantaneously if the sun came in the room. But we consider the sun and the sunshine to be non-difference. So therefore, Krishna and his energies are non-different and different simultaneously. Very important point. So the energies are emanations from the emanator, the person who produces that. And we are one of the energies. Krishna's energies are described as three types. The jiva soul, that's us. And we're called marginal energy because we can associate with illusion or we can associate with Krishna. That's where we're on the margin. And then there's a spiritual energy, which is where Krishna is in the spiritual world and all the devotees are under the jurisdiction of pure devotees, under the jurisdiction of Krishna's spiritual energy. And then there's the material energy, which is called the vidya karma. It means ignorant activities. And that's what we're here doing. We're an illusion, thinking that we're this body, we're thinking we're white or black or Slovenian or American or male or female. And we function on that basis, and we have all of our fallible soldiers connected to this body. Fallible soldiers means, you know, family members, like that. Or nationality, or group, or something like that. So, anyway, so these are Krishna's energies, and the ninth principle is the only means for getting out of this material world is to execute pure devotional service. And pure devotional service, the benefit of pure devotional service, there's six qualities that are benefits of pure devotional service, that, first of all, it frees you immediately from distress. The second quality is it gives you transcendental happiness. And then, other qualities, such as auspicious, it's rarely achieved, and persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness are not interested in impersonal liberation because they want to serve Krishna eternally. This is the goal, to serve Krishna eternally, exchanging ras with him in the spiritual world. And then the last principle is, as it's rarely achieved, and it's the only means of controlling Krishna. So if you become a pure devotee of the Lord, you can control Krishna by your devotion. Of course, the topmost pure devotee is Srimati Radharani. And, is he sleeping? Yeah, keep him up. It's hard when it's hot, I understand. You should fan him. Get the peacock fan. So, and Srimati Radharani is able to control Krishna. And a devotee like Srila Prabhupada is able to control Krishna by his will. When Prabhupada makes a promise, one promise that Prabhupada made to all of us is that if we engage in the process of sadhana bhakti throughout this lifetime, Krishna will come and take us back to Godhead. Now that's pretty amazing. Because normally, as Krishna states in the Gita, Vomanam Janyanamante. It takes many, many births before one becomes Krishna conscious. You can go back to Godhead. Understand Vasudeva Sarvabhiti. Understand Krishna in truth. But by Prabhupada's promise, it will happen in one lifetime. And even Krishna understands that principle that he's controlled by his devotee. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asks Arjuna to declare it boldly. That his devotee will never perish. And why does Krishna ask Arjuna to declare it? Because people may not trust Krishna. Because Krishna is a little tricky. If you read the Mahabharata, you'll see that Krishna, he
He played a lot of tricks. He broke promises, did all so many things. However, when the devotee declares it, Krishna is duty-bound to do that. It's very, very interesting. So the process of pure devotional service consists of 9 different activities. All these are devotional service. And what's the first activity? Does anyone know? Hearing. Shravana. So sometimes people say, I want to do service, and reading is not service, but reading is service. If you read about Krishna, if you study Krishna, you are worshipping Krishna with your intelligence, the Bhagavad Gita says. So devotees should regularly, everyone should regularly read Vedic literatures, because these Vedic literatures are the sound representation, or manifestation, or incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then after Shravanam, guess what you do? Anyone know? Kirtanam. Because the best way to remember something, which is Smaran, which comes after that, is to talk about it. Just like they say, if you sit in class, you'll learn maybe 10%. Probably most of you can just absorb maybe 2% of what I say. You know, I'm lucky. But then, if you practice it, you learn a little more. But if you teach it, then you can get to 100%. Right? Just like the way I learned many Sanskrit verses when I was a new devotee, was that every day I would pick a verse and I would go out and speak to people about that verse. And then I remember it. Pretty nice, isn't it? That's the way you can learn thousands of verses. You preach, well, don't want to use the word preach, share. That's more politically correct. You share the knowledge that you have, and then that sort of, and then Smarana. Then you can remember. And then, after Smaranam, there's Pada-sevana. Pada-sevana means basically serving the lotus feet, but it doesn't mean you just like go to everybody's feet and you cut their toenails or something like that. Or with the ladies, you paint their toenails in colors. It doesn't mean that. It means you become a humble servant. Not only a humble servant of devotees, but you understand you're a servant of everybody. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that if you want to become humble, trinadapi sunichina, as Lord Chaitanya says, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, not wanting respect, then you offer respect to all others. That's bhadasevana. And so we can serve everybody. We serve let's say a more advanced devotee by just doing what they say, obviously. And we serve equally advanced devotees by sharing Krishna conscious knowledge with them, giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, giving gifts, accepting gifts to Dhani Pratiknahati, Guyamaki Prishati, revealing the mind in confidence like this. And we serve all humanity and all living entities by giving them Krishna consciousness. Just like today, I was walking in the park in a nice park. It's a little hot. But anyway, I was walking in the park and I saw some birds and I was chanting to them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Repeat after me, Hare Krishna. The birds, not you, the birds. So we started, I was thinking, here I am, I'm supposed to serve the birds. Actually, I wanted to offer obeisances to the bird, but I didn't. Because why would I offer obeisance? Because who's in the heart of the bird? Krishna. So Krishna's in the heart of the bird. That's why we offer obeisances, respects to all living entities. And then after that, Archanam. Archanam is a very nice program that we offer our food to Krishna. We offer some arti. We set up a little altar. Those of you who don't live in the temple, those of you who are first learning about Krishna consciousness, you set up a little altar in your home, and with pictures of Krishna, pictures of Prabhupada, and you offer respects. That's simple archana. You don't, of course you can come to the temple, which is very wonderful to see, pumps and talk less, you should go to time. But even in your home, you can set up a little altar. And that really focuses you. Actually, Prabhupada wanted us to distribute DVDs on Sankirtan. Did you know that? Prabhupada said we should have little Gornas IDs, not Radha Krishna IDs, of course. And call them happy dolls. And tell people that if they put this on their bookshelf, and it should come with a little piece of paper, chant this mantra, put some fruit before these deities, then they will become very fortunate. So Prabhupada wanted that. Actually, we do that. In our temple in the United States, we have these little happy dolls. We distribute to people in Sankirtan. Because if they come in contact with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, there's no offenses in worshiping Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They'll become devotees. So Prabhupada actually wanted Chaitanya Nitya deities installed in everyone's house. So then after that, the next process of devotional service is Vandanam. Please, you would know. Any devotees here? Offering prayers. My dear Lord Krishna, please save me from this material world. Please let me understand Krishna consciousness. Please let me become empowered to preach Krishna consciousness. Please. Whatever. That's a prayer. Save me. Basically, save me. I know that's a major kingdom. Like Lord Chaitanya teaches us. Then after that, dasham, becoming a servant, understanding your position. And then, as you advance more, sakya, understand the Lord is your friend. Bhaktaram jagatavasam sarvalokamaheshram surinam sarvabhutanam gyatvalam shanti mrityati. If you want to become peaceful, understand that the Lord is your friend. He's the well-wisher. Lord of all the worlds, and he's with you all the time. I realized that when I first chanted Hare Krishna, I could take my friend with me wherever I went. Pretty good. Your portable friends. Not your mobile phone. And you can text to Krishna all the time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Isn't that cool? You can be with Krishna, you just need to go, Hare Krishna. Krishna's there. Govinda! Ram! Nrsimhadev! Wow. So, Krishna's your friend. Satyam. And then finally, Admani Vedam. That's a little advanced for all of you. Admani Vedam means complete surrender. That's scary. Isn't it? Complete surrender, Krishna, whatever you want. You may crush me by your embrace. You may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. Anything and everything. Uh-oh. No. Yeah, that's not my opinion. So when we're ready, we can do this. So these are the nine processes of devotional service. And so that's the ninth principle of Dashamala. And finally, the tenth one is pure love of God is the final objective. And pure love of God means you realize who you are in the spiritual world. So Swarup City. And even though you're in this world here at the same time, it's called Jivan Mukta, you're enacting your pastimes with Krishna internally. That's the real world. This world here is just an illusion. You're not actually here. Can you believe that? You're not here in this room. You're the soul and the heart, transcendentally situated, and you're seeing this room through these eyes, just like you may be watching television. I'm just a little more fancy than that. It's something called virtual reality. Some of you may be familiar with virtual reality, where they put these glasses on. Anyone's heard about that before? And they think that they're somewhere else than they're actually in. So we have this, we're in virtual reality, or for those of you who saw the film, The Matrix. Some of you may have seen that. So we're in this virtual world, but the soul is not here. The soul is transcendentally situated. And we're thinking we're here. So, Krishna consciousness means, yes, you still work in this world, but you know you're not of this world. And your real life is internal, relating with Krishna in the spiritual world of one of the five basic rasas, which we mentioned before. That means worshiping Krishna, passive adoration, or serving Krishna, becoming the friend of Krishna, becoming the parent of Krishna, or becoming the lover of Krishna. And that's what pure devotional service is. And that's what satisfies the heart. When one reaches that platform, one experiences unlimited ecstasy, unlimited emotions. As we chant every morning, devotees here chant, Mahaprabhu Kirtana Richikita Vaditra Madhya Manasavrasena, that when a devotee chants or remembers Krishna, he feels so much ecstasy, his hair stand on end. Tears come from his eyes like torrents of rain. And he feels quivering in his body. And it's not Parkinson's disease. Died. Confirmed by Sri Sri Prabhupada, Sri Sri Prabhupada. So, these are the Dashamula points. You remember these. Function according to these Dashamula points, and it's guaranteed you will attain eternal life, go back to home, back to God. So, any questions or comments? We don't want to keep everybody for too long. Yes?
How do they distribute this deities?
How? Like what distribution?
Just like that.
Yes. No, they get a little piece of paper that explains, don't offer me fish or eggs, obviously. You're going to type, and chant this mantra in front of the deity. Because people are thinking of good luck charms. You know, when I was young, we considered like a rabbit's foot to be a good luck charm, and of course you don't do that here. Or a four-leaf clover, or, you know, there's different good luck charms you have. Or sometimes people study astrology and they get these rings with all the different jewels on them, and they think that's good luck. So, people accepted like that if you simply chant this mantra, then you have everything you ever wanted. Explain it like that. Here, this is for you. Put these on your bookshelf, and people take them. So, what happened is in China, the devotees started to produce these, and that's where we ordered them from. We ordered hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sets of these little Gordon type deities like this. They're in plastic, not metal. Because metal would have been too expensive. And we just distributed them like a book. Here's some deities for it. It's good luck. You want to have good luck? Yeah. Okay, put these on your bookshelf. Prabhupada actually said that. So, that would be interesting, isn't it? Because Gaurantaya is very merciful. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Sema. What does that mean? That Lord Chaitanya, this is a prayer written by Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya is the most magnificent, I mean most kind, hearted, open personality of Godhead that ever appeared. Because he's giving something freely out, love of God. You don't have to work for it. That doesn't mean you should work for it, but you know. So, because Krishna in the Gita says you have to work for it. He says, Sarvadharmam Purichayam Amitam Sharanam Praja. Just surrender. But Lord Chaitanya says, Dina Hina Yata Chilo Harinam Udurila. Whether you're fallen, whether you're elevated, just chant Hare Krishna. And the evidence for that, Tadashakshai, Jagai Madai, is Jagai Madai. They were two drunkards, and they became pure devotees. And they even attacked Lord Nityananda when they became pure devotees, because they had to ask for forgiveness after that. So, we have to give people, that's the reason this temple is so ecstatic. This is perhaps the most ecstatic.